Welcome to The Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, we're discussing the films hitting theaters this very summer and a few smaller titles to keep your eye on. It's time to kick winter and spring to the curb and focus on the biggest movie season of the year. This is our 2018 summer movie preview. Welcome back, hoes. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today is my fellow ho, Jenny Davenport.
We just got the spring. How are we already kicking it to the curb?
Because Marvel decided it's going back. And next year, it's probably going to start in February. So get ready.
There's some people who might make the argument that this year it did start in February.
Yeah. Once again, Marvel. Marvel did that. And joining us for our summer movie preview this year is Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello, hoes.
From Smirk, and you've been on many episodes of a Remakes Movie, right?
True that.
And on this show a couple times.
Yeah. I mean, I've been here
only
before.
Only a couple, though.
Yeah. Only like a handful.
Sit your ass down. Back up.
Take all the seats.
We've got a big show here, and I want to explain how we're going to do this in case you've never listened to a summer movie preview. I don't even know if we did it full on last year. We kind of relaxed a little bit, but we're going month to month to month, okay? So we're going May. Yeah, Infinity War is going to count in May, but it's not actually releasing in May. Write your letters now. Just start writing them now because it's going to happen. But we're going to go through each month, and we're going to break down the major titles that are coming out that month. And we'll do that kind of real quick, and then we'll discuss what we're most excited about. And we're also going to give you an independent or a streaming original to look forward to that month as well. So what I would recommend, grab a notebook, grab a pen, get ready, because we're going to talk about a lot of movies. And then at the end of the show, we're also going to have actor Amir Arison stopped by to talk about his new movie, 20 Weeks, with us. And I think that's going to be kind of fun for listeners, too. So look forward to that. Are you guys ready to knock out the summer movie preview?
We're ready to rock and roll.
There's some sort of rocking out happening with something out. Let's just do it.
Okay. This is not working at all. We're going to have to amp it up. Pretend like summer is here, not like the blizzards that keep coming. We have to pretend that the real season is finally here.
Okay, on the count of three, we're all just going to sing School's Out for Summer.
No, because we get sued. We can't do that. Why don't we make it a new song and we'll call it Cool's Out for
No, we will not.
That did not come out
right.
Nope.
Back that train up.
All right, so like I said, we're going to go month to month, and we're going to start with May. Are you guys ready to break down the summer movie season?
Let's do it!
Whoa!
Okay, that was inappropriate and creepy all at the same time. All right, here's what we're doing. We're starting with May. I'm taking May, and we're each having our own month. I get 2 months because, well,
you're special, and you can read.
And I know it.
Because you won 2 awards is really what it comes down to.
Because I won 2 podcast awards.
There's this kid. He's in trouble.
Move or die.
Pump the hate brakes, Thanos. I ain't letting Cable get to him. But I can't do this alone.
We need backup.
We're gonna form a super duper group.
It's time to get back on LinkedIn.
Meet Bedlam.
My name's Shatterstar.
Domino, I'm Lucky.
Luck isn't a superpower.
It's certainly not very cinematic.
Yes, it is.
Let's meet in the middle and say no, it isn't.
All right, starting in April. No, May. Sorry. Marvel. Damn it. Stop it. April 27th, Avengers Infinity War. The Avengers and their allies must be willing to sacrifice all in an attempt to defeat the powerful Thanos before his blitz of devastation and ruin puts an end to the universe. Also, probably going to kill off some of your favorite major characters. So look forward to that. Then on May 4th, we've got Overboard. Like I said, we're going to go run through the titles pretty quick, and then we'll talk about them. Overboard, you're remaking Kurt Russell, really? A spoiled, wealthy yacht owner is thrown overboard and becomes the target of revenge for his mistreated employee. Anna Faris and Eugenio Derbez stars in this.
Eugenio.
What?
It's Eugenio.
It's a G.
It's Eugenio.
Don't argue with him. Do you not remember Fast and the Furious?
Well,
it's
Hispanic,
not a G.
So.
It's a G.
Okay. You know, yeah. All right. Well, Tully, the film is about Marlo, a mother of three, including a newborn who is gifted a night nanny by her brother. Hesitant to the extravagance at first, Marlo comes to form a unique bond with a thoughtful, surprising, and sometimes challenging young nanny named Tully, and it stars Charlize Theron. Going to May 11th, Breaking In, Gabrielle Union is a woman who fights to protect a family during a home invasion. We got Life of the Party, after her husband abruptly asks for a divorce, a middle-aged mother returns to college in order to complete her degree, also known as Back to School, the Melissa McCarthy version. 5/18, May 18th, we've got Book Club with Diane Keaton, Jane Fonda, Candace Bergen, Mary Steenburgen. Four lifelong friends have their lives forever changed after reading 50 Shades of Grey in their monthly book club. What?
Yep.
That happened. Deadpool 2.
I'm both afraid and excited for that one.
Deadpool 2. Deadpool return. Well, who cares? It's Deadpool 2. It's going to be Deadpool coming back. Cable's involved. Josh Brolin is playing Cable. He's going to have a teddy bear. Life is exciting. And if you go to IMDb, read the actual description, because it's the best movie description you'll ever read in your lifetime.
Ooh, can't wait.
Yeah. Show Dogs. Max, a macho, solitary Rottweiler police dog, is ordered to go undercover as a primp show dog at a prestigious dog show, along with his human partner, to avert a disaster from happening. This is going to be John's pick of the month. I can promise you that. May 25th, Solo. This is the last one of the month. Solo, a Star Wars story. During an adventure into a dark criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters Lando Calrissian years before joining the Rebellion, also known as We Shot This Movie Twice.
So honestly, why does Show Dogs feel like it's just a sequel of that Cats and Dogs movie from the early 2000s? Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
Was Will Arnett in that one too?
No idea. It's just a really, really crappy movie about cats and dogs having a feud, and they act like agents. They move like CIA agents and assassins.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah. No, this isn't going to be that good.
Ooh, ow.
I guess it's not going to be John's pick of the month.
I don't know, man. I like the idea of a dog being a PI.
Go watch Cats and Dogs. There's a whole feud between species.
I saw Cats and Dogs, but there was no PI dog. So if there's no PI dog, it is not the same thing. I'm sorry.
Losing the Sherlock Holmes element.
I want to see a Rottweiler smoking a stogie in a very fog-heavy room. That's really what I'm looking for.
In a trench coat.
If it's not shot like a 50s noir thriller, I'm not interested.
Exactly. That's what makes it something cool. That's a lot of movies coming out in May, including Infinity War, which, you know, I really love how they rolled it back a week. It's almost like they were scared of Deadpool or something, or they just decided, you know what, we're going to see if we can make summer start in January. We're just going to keep rolling things back out a week and a week and a week.
Right.
Let's
see how much of summer we can keep making bigger. So I think they're actually doing it to give Solo a little bit of room, because it's going to own the majority of the month.
You really think so?
Yeah, probably. I think Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars makes $1 billion. And I think they are scared of Deadpool a little bit.
They should be. But I think that Deadpool is going to take over Solo.
I hope
so. Deadpool's going to win over Solo.
Absolutely. I don't think Solo is going to have the good marketing that it needs that the other Star Wars movies have had.
There's a lot of people who are treating Solo like this is Star Wars' last chance to keep old school fans.
Really? I mean,
it doesn't feel old school at all.
I don't think anybody's bailing on Star Wars anytime soon. Who says that?
There's a couple articles that my friends who are all Star Wars fans, who are like, you know, one foot out, they're sharing those all over my feed. And really? Yeah, it seems like they're putting a lot of weight on on Solo, which it's going to happen. We'll see if it's good or not. It looks fun.
Cite your sources, John. Cite your sources.
Who are these friends?
Yeah.
What these friends?
Friends do you speak of?
Do you have friends?
Are we calling me out for friends now?
No, but let's get into it. What are you most looking forward to? Of all those movies, and there's quite a few, what are you most looking forward to in May?
For the experience, Infinity War, but for the actual movie, Deadpool 2. Hands down.
So basically, you just threw in an honorable mention? Is that what you did?
No. Yes, no, exactly no. I have different reasons for wanting to see them. I'm going to be seeing Infinity War in the Dolby cinema experience, which I think will make any movie 100 times better when your seat is rumbling to the movie.
Not if somebody's texting in front of you.
Well, they better not, because I paid a lot of money for these tickets. That's right. I'm taking my nephew.
I think you can legally karate chop them if that happens.
I'm going to.
So which one ultimately won that? Like, what movie are you, like,
the
if,
actual
if you only
movie.
Get to see one, if you're on a deserted island and you only get to see one movie, because weird that they would have a screening of one film on a deserted island, what is the one movie you're going
to
watch?
As long as I still get to take my nephew Deadpool 2.
You're going to take your nephew to Deadpool 2?
Taking him to Infinity War.
Okay.
So that's why that one's like a special experience.
Gotcha.
But Deadpool 2, I loved the first one and it was so much fun and I hope that I laugh as much as I did.
I'm not sure what just happened. It sounded like, as long as I can take my nephew, it's Infinity War, but if I can't, then it's Deadpool. So it still sounds like she's not committing to one or the other.
That's true. Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. That's what I'm hearing. Yeah.
You know what? Let's just skip this and we'll just go to John.
Well, I mean, if I had to look forward to something, it's Infinity War, if I had to. But there's a lot of stuff in VOD that's coming out that really gets my attention a little bit more. I think it's partially because I don't want to say I'm comic booked out because I adore those movies. It's just that when I'm to a point where I see that and I'm like, well, I'm going to go see that. It's just not special anymore.
I'm Deadpool 2 all the way. I mean, honestly, I really probably was more on board with Infinity War beforehand. But then the latest trailer came out and I've got a Peter now. I'm really excited. I just like how it's against the norm. And Deadpool is the movie for people that are comic booked out, I think. So that's why I love it. And that's why we'll probably never get Deadpool 3 because Disney will kill it. They'll nerf it. They will nerf Deadpool.
They'll nerf it.
Yep.
Also, the movie is like it's 2.5 hours, which is pretty close to what it standardly is, the Infinity War is. Mm-hmm. And how are they going to be able to make – I'm curious how they're going to make that story – not feel overwhelming while still giving screen time to all of those characters.
Well, Tony Stark will still have all the screen time. So really, it's Tony Stark's story.
Jesus.
And he'll be
his nephew, he'll be Peter Parker.
Peter Parker, he'll be mentoring his nephew. And that's really what the movie's going to ultimately be. Black Panther will show up and Tony will push him aside. And then he'll die. And then Black Panther will take
My money's better than your money.
Yep.
You know, at this point, I really just want to see Thanos turn Iron Man into one of those crushed cans just so Aaron will shut up about it.
I wanted to make him one of those pennies, like where you go to the carnival or something and you put a penny in.
Flattened out, stretched out pennies.
Yes. And it's stamped with a Thanos, Infinity Gauntlet hand. That would be cool.
Well, now you have an idea for the ending of the movie.
And then Cap picks it up and gives it to Black Panther, who takes it back to Wakanda. And they just, you know, put it on, or they give it to Thor so he can put it in the little Asgard vault. If they rebuild it.
did you even see the last Thor movie?
I totally forgot he's Snake Plissken now. I forgot. Yeah, got it. Out of the other movies, I mean, take away the big franchise flicks, Star Wars, Infinity War, and Deadpool. Those other ones, is there anything that really catches your eye?
Well, the thing I think is interesting is that when I look at the list, every time I see Book Club and Deadpool next to each other, I see Club Dread 2, and that's really what, I mean, even though it's not happening, I keep on getting excited every single time.
You can keep dreaming. It's okay. I won't ruin those dreams for you. But Tully looks really good. I like Charlize, and I think that it seems like an emotional but down-to-earth type of film. I mean, it seems like an independent film, so I like those. I think she's going to do great. She's done great in everything recently, so I'd be amazed if this wasn't a great movie.
I think Book Club is actually going to be great counter-programming because there's a lot of people, women in particular, who don't want to go and see Infinity War and Deadpool. So they have something to them, especially older women, you know, and they don't get many films serving them, that audience. So I think that'd be good.
Well, and you have Jane Fonda, so...
I mean, she's one of the women.
Yeah.
I mean, Diane Keaton's probably a bigger draw. She's had actual hit movies in the last decade.
She has.
But Life of the Party, because I really love Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield, and I feel like it's the same movie with Melissa McCarthy, and I like Melissa McCarthy, so I'm in. I want to check that out. I do.
Breaking In looks like a really great movie to watch if you want to get to that thriller. And also, it also seems like a little bit different than a lot of thrillers of the same genre.
Can we say that we're all in a consensus that none of us are going to see Overboard or Show Dogs?
I'm sorry, but Overboard is sacrilege to me. So, no, you do not remake Kurt Russell with Eugenio.
Eugenio.
That is not It just doesn't work for me. He's not a Goldie Hawn replacement.
So you are part of the consensus here that none of us are going to see those two movies.
I mean, I'll probably. If Kurt Russell does a cameo, I probably show up.
Go look at his IMDb and see if he's on there.
Actually, that would be amazing if he would hit a cameo in there. Him and Goldie Hawn just show up out of nowhere.
And they say, shake their heads no and walk away.
Right.
I actually, the first trailer I saw for that looked terrible. The latest one looks better. I could see it if it wasn't for the original. I think the original is a really charming movie, so it's just hard for me to get my hands around that one, I guess, as an idea.
My only problem is that Anna Faris ends up falling in love with Eugenio, and in my mind, she can do kind of better. Like, nothing's really wrong with Eugenio, but
she had
it's problem. Anna Faris.
I really felt like there would be a more star power. I mean, maybe he's big in his home country. I don't know. I don't know him at all. So I definitely don't want to take away. Maybe he's a huge overseas and they're trying to get, you know, overseas appeal or under America appeal, whatever it is called. And international appeal, international flavor. They're trying to get some of that. So I get the idea. I don't know the actor. So I don't know how to feel about him one way or the other. John, do you know him? I mean,
I don't know how to say his name.
I know how to say his name, but I've seen some, and I've never seen anything he's been in. But I hear nothing but great things from everybody about the different things that he's done. So I hear that he's great. It's just that it seems like they went the wrong direction, because in the original movie, you have Goldie Hawn, who looks glamorous and looks for who she is, a rich, snobby, glamorous person, and he just doesn't have that glamour about him. If you can get Antonio Banderas from 10 years ago or somebody like that, then yeah, it makes more sense to me to have that be the character. But to have Eugenio, who looks kind of schlubby and not so, he's not so glamorous, then I don't get the whole connection to it.
Maybe they should have flipped the script with the characters, you know?
Yeah, because you can totally have Anna Faris being glamorous and amazing, and she can do that easily. Mm-hmm. And she can be snobby and nuts, so good for her.
Well, moving on to smaller independent films. Is there anything in the independent world or Netflix originals or streaming originals in general? There's Amazon Prime original, there's Hulu original. Everybody keeps counting them as movies, so we're going to throw them in there. Anything you should we should keep an eye out for?
There is a lot in May. So May has...
Pick one. We're not going to run through every title now.
There's at least two that I want to talk about. But okay. let's go for the crazier of the two. So there's a movie coming out for limited release called Future World, directed by James Franco. And it stars James Franco, Mila Jovovich, Suki Waterhouse, Lucy Liu, and Snoop Dogg.
I'm doing a party dance right now.
Why?
Celebratory. Well, James Franco and Snoop Dogg and everybody else who's involved with this.
Oh, okay.
But James Franco gets me dancing.
In a post-apocalyptic world where water and gasoline have long since dried up, a prince from the Oasis, one of the last known safe havens, must venture out to find medicine for the ailing queen, Lucy Liu. But along the way, he gets mixed up with a warlord, James Franco, and his robot, Ash, Suki Waterhouse, which leads to a daring journey through the desolate wastelands. Come the hell on!
It was also like a Westworld sequel movie as well. I thought it was a remake at first.
Yeah, it looks nuts. I mean, I'm in. It looks so crazy, I'm in. Did you guys find anything?
Well, okay, so there is a movie that's coming out that's going to be coming to video on demand called The Escape, where a woman who sets out to reclaim her life and basically takes a look at what it means to start over. It has Gemma Arterton. I don't know if you guys are familiar with her. She seems kind of...
Yeah, I've heard of her a couple times.
Just making sure. Yeah. She basically seems to have like this really standout performance from the trailer I've seen. And that alone sold me on wanting to see it.
What's the name of it?
It's called The Escape.
Okay.
It's going to be a video on demand release. It comes out in May. So it looks really good. Even the story just seems like a very emotional kind of turn on reality. But she has a really powerful performance just from the trailer. So I can't imagine what the full length feature will be like.
Fun fact, Gemma Arterton was born polydactyl.
Really? Yeah,
another fun fact. Her name is Arterton, not Alterton, whatever. Or whatever you said. Welcome to the podcast that can never get a name correct. My pick for May comes out on May 4th, and it's called The Con Is On. as a video-on-demand release. In an effort to avoid paying off a massive gambling debt to a notorious mobster in England, a couple flees to L.A. to hatch a jewelry theft plot. The reason why I want to see it, Tim Roth, Uma Thurman, Parker Posey, Maggie Q, and Sofia Vergara.
Ooh.
That's all I needed. I watched the trailer. I don't even care if it looks good or bad. I'm going to see it because of that cast. I love Tim Roth, and to see him and Uma in another movie again just really gets me excited. So, boom, May 4th, The Con is on. Stupid title. Probably not a great movie, but it's the cast. The cast gets me.
One of the ones that I found that makes me really excited, check out this cast. Margot Robbie, Simon Pegg, Mike Myers. It's a movie called The Terminal. It's a Von Stein movie written and directed by him. Terminal follows two assassins with a sinister mission, a fatally ill teacher, and a janitor and a waitress with a double life. Murder consequences unravel, their lives meet, and it looks awesome. Just watch it.
I like how you always go with these really in-depth descriptions, and then somehow it just gets really succinct by, no, just, I'm going to stop talking, you just need to watch this.
Right, yeah.
I like your descriptions.
I like my descriptions, too.
Manny, you had another one you wanted to mention, is that correct, or not? Or no, that was it, okay. All right. Well, now we can move on to the next question, which for May, what's one specific thing about this month's films that stood out for you or a fun fact you learned while looking into them?
So for Breaking In, the director for that, James Mateague, he actually directed V for Vendetta and some of the episodes for Sense8. So that kind of got me excited for it.
Mm-hmm. So he does have an eye. That movie doesn't look too bad. I mean, it looks kind of cliche, but.
Yeah, but I mean, that at least gets me a little bit more interested in maybe going to see it, because it's got some good ties with the director.
Hey, in truth, Infinity War is quite a cliche already, so, you know, let's be honest.
Yeah.
John, I mean, you can find a cliche in anything, really.
Exactly. What about you? Did you find anything, or fun fact, or anything stand out to you?
Oh, well, the thing that stood out to me the most was, like, the wide berth that everyone seems to be giving Infinity War. They're like, okay, you know what, let's just give them a good, solid 4, maybe 3 weeks of making all the money they're going to make, and then we're going to try to see what we can put up against them. I mean, that's the biggest thing that stands out to me.
Well, don't you understand? I mean, I get it. Totally.
I get it, too.
I would say that.
Like, Disney did it with their own movie. They're like, okay, let's do Solo nearly an exact month later.
Mm. The thing that stands out to me most is how Star Wars is... Solo, a Han Solo story, you know, has basically been remade. They almost reshot the entire film from what we understand. And how Disney is really dancing around that so much and acting like it wasn't a big deal. So what stood out for me, like reading articles and stuff and how they're trying to distance themselves from that being a real issue, I really would love to see the original cut that was almost done. I mean, I would love to see what they saw where they went, wait, we need to fire them. I'm sorry. Part ways, creative differences. And hire Ron Howard. We need to get Opie in here and fix this as soon as humanly possible. We're going to spend $100 million or whatever they spent on it just to make the movie that the studio wanted. And the thing that really stood out to me is, should we be concerned about that? The fact that they say that they wanted a creative vision for the movie and then they ended up making it a studio film instead. Does that make sense?
It does, in terms of, are they actually doing it for the benefit of the film or just because that's what the studio wants, is what it sounds like. Because
they want to hit those demographics.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think they will ever release even those segments of what they recorded, even on Blu-ray special features or anything. It would be interesting to see or to know what those specific differences are. But I guess as long as the finished product comes out good and well-intentioned, and I mean, not that we'll completely know those intentions, but as long as it seems like it's coming across the way that we feel it should, and I know there's always going to be skepticism of any movie that relates to Star Wars, but if it seems like they did their best and they made those changes that actually benefited the film, it seems like an overall good movie, then I'm not super concerned with what they made changes to. But it would be interesting to know.
I just think that bottom line, it doesn't really matter what kind of road they took to get to where they are now. All that stuff may be interesting to see. It might be fun to see the underlying sketch or underlying painting that's there that started it all off, but it's really the final product that matters. Though I am curious about the whole thing, I'm also just it doesn't mean it's going to be a bad movie because they spent basically doubled the amount of money to make it just to get it to where they wanted it to be. It just means that they really cared about it, which is, I think, more important, the fact that they cared so much to make sure that they were happy with their product that they redid it.
Well, and you made a point of how much money that they're going to be spending to do that.
Yeah.
They have plenty of money to spend. You know,
they're like a drunk guy on payday at the strip club, man. They're like, what? Dollar bill, y'all?
Yeah. But I mean, I think for a corporation as big as them to make a decision that, hey, we're going to invest double the amount of money into this product, there has to be a good reason for it. You know what I mean?
And that's why I want to see their movie. I want to see what happened.
How tragically bad could it have possibly been for them to double, you know, their expenses for one movie? And I'm sorry, I don't think that the marketing for this film is even that great.
I don't know.
So
either,
they
actually
doubled the amount that they put into the actual product. They could have used that money towards the marketing for it. Maybe it came from the marketing funds.
Think of all the homeless they could have saved.
think about all the money they could have just handed me. They could have just given me that money.
Yeah, right. All right. What's your overall verdict of this month's releases? Great, good enough, or ugly enough to make you play sports ball, John?
With the exception of Deadpool and Infinity War, I'm more interested in VOD right now.
Wow. All right, so it's kind of ugly for you this month, or May.
It kind of is. I mean, I mentioned just two movies that on VOD that I found that were interesting. There's also a movie with Jim Carrey called Dark Crimes coming out on VOD. That's him playing an Irish detective in Ireland doing some sort of crazy detective stuff. Ooh. I mean, come on. That sounds like I got to watch it. You got Martin Freeman doing Cargo for Netflix, and Cargo looks like a post-apocalyptic thriller with an emotional father story to it. Okay, I'll watch Martin Freeman try to survive the post-apocalyptic world.
I like how you jammed all those in there, huh?
Yeah.
That was pretty smooth. That was pretty slick, right?
Yeah. As long as Jim Carrey busts into every room and be like, Ace Ventura, that would be my... That's how you solve crimes. Can I call you later? Your number is still 911. Alrighty then. I would watch the hell out of that. Amanda, what about you? What's your vote on May?
I think it's still a good turnout for the ones that we have in theaters and for the ones that we have at home. I'm definitely not going to have any time to go outside. Well, I'm also in the Midwest, so it'll probably be a blizzard when all of this is happening anyway. So.
I think spring's finally here.
I don't trust it.
Okay.
We had 70-degree weather, and then all of a sudden the next day we have raining Dippin' Dots.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
What? Dippin' Dots?
It seriously looked like Dippin' Dots.
Oh, like
it was
hail?
Like snow hail, but it seriously looked
snail.
Like Dippin' Dots. I was hungry.
I didn't know what it wanted to be. It was like hail, only soft.
I was like,
and
I
tasty.
Hope this is cookie dough.
I'm saying I think it's good enough. There's like four solid titles in May. There's a lot of, wow, well, I guess they couldn't get a release date in March, huh? So that's where I went with that. All right, we're going to play a game before we go to June called Say It Like It Is. Each host takes a memorable line or dialogue from a movie and delivers it how real people would actually say it. And we're going to pull from any Marvel Cinematic Universe film. John, you start us off.
All right.
Tell us the line, the original line or dialogue, and then how a real person would say it.
So Nick Fury, I believe this came from the first Avengers movie. Until such time as the world ends, we will act as though it intends to spin on. Clear out the tech below, each piece of phase two on the truck and gone. So as Sam Jackson should have said this, because I figured why not choose a good Sam Jackson line and say it like it is. As far as I can tell, we're still here. I'm just going to keep on keeping on, and I told you to clear out that shit. How about you go do that?
Oh, my God.
I felt oddly racist. I don't know why. Or oddly Sam Jacksonist. Maybe that's the term.
Well, I mean, it's Nick Fury. Sometimes he just sounds like Sam Jackson.
That's true.
That is true.
All right, Amanda.
So in The Avengers, Thor says, "Do I look to be in a gaming mood?" That sounds more Game of Thrones, but that's the best I can do.
Yeah, quite a bit.
And how people today in our sad society would probably say it, cash me outside, how about that?
God. I hope somebody punches that girl in the face someday.
She's making money. She had music video. She's got a lot going on.
That's cool.
Is she still a thing? Because like, surprisingly, I seem to have found a way.
She had a music video, and the song wasn't that bad. I actually kind of liked it. I was like, oh no, I like this. I gotta stop.
You're part of the problem.
I know. Well, I didn't pay for anything, but I did click it. Damn it, it's my fault.
Those clicks go to somebody.
All right. Well, from Captain America, the line is, "I can do this all day." Everybody remembers that iconic line, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A real person would say it. I'm tired. I'm gonna sit down.
I think that's the difference between when you're in your 20s and when you're in your 40s. No,
I think that's 50s. An American any age at this point. Yep. You know what? I'm tired. I'm just going to sit down. It's cool. You win.
Do you know this one?
No.
Debbie Ocean, convicted felon. Her brother, Danny Ocean, more convicted felon. She was present on the night of the incident.
Ooh. So...
So you want to hit a jewelry store?
Not exactly.
The diamond mine.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Or what? The Met.
All right, now we go to June. Amanda?
We've got a lot
what's coming out
in June. So on June 1st, we have Action Point, which stars Johnny Knoxville, who is a daredevil, of course, that designs and operates his own theme park with his friends. It looks ridiculous.
Jackass with a plot?
Yeah, barely.
Right.
Then there's also Adrift, which has Shailene Woodley and Sam Claflin. And they're a young couple who fall in love and are both sailors, and they have to face one of the most catastrophic hurricanes in recorded history. On June 8th, we have Hereditary, which is the matriarch of the Graham family passes away, and her daughter begins to unravel cryptic and increasingly terrifying secrets about their ancestry. This one stars Toni Collette. But then we also have Ocean's 8, which, of course, is the prequel now with the ladies.
Is it a prequel?
Well, I mean, it's 8 instead of 11, I would assume so.
No, I think it's a sequel.
Did you watch the trailer?
I haven't been watching all of them. So Debbie Ocean gathers her
spin-off.
Crew.
Spinoff is the word I would
There you go. Guess. That's okay. A good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Ocean's 8, as the spinoff, has Debbie Ocean, where she gathers her crew to attempt an impossible heist at New York City's yearly Met Gala. It's got a killer cast of ladies. I'm so excited for this.
I'm excited that you started that whole thing over again. Like, I'm going to edit out where you made a mistake. Because I'm not. I'm totally going to let the world see it.
That's all right.
You're going to enjoy it and savor it. And this has Kate Blanchett, so...
And then on June 15th, which is the day after Amazingness, The Incredibles 2 comes out, which is...
What?
Wait, what?
Your birthday.
Yeah, on the 14th. Got
flag
it.
Flag day. We got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, flag day.
Got it. Got it.
So The Incredibles 2 comes out, and that is the sequel to Incredibles 1. That's the plot there.
I like that.
Superfly also comes out. Honestly... I don't, why? Why are we doing this? It's a remake of the 1972 film Superfly, which was about the daily routine of a cocaine dealer priest who wants to score once more and retire. We also have Tag, and it's got Jon Hamm, Isla Fisher, and Rashida Jones, so the cast is beautiful. It follows a group of friends who have an annual game of tag, no matter the costs or circumstances. On June 22nd, we have Jurassic World 2. Owen and Claire mount a campaign to rescue the remaining dinosaurs when the island's dormant volcano begins roaring to life. We've also got Under the Silver Lake. Andrew Garfield plays a man named Sam who becomes obsessed with the strange circumstances of a billionaire mogul's murder and the kidnapping of a girl.
Mogul.
Yeah. Look, we can't pronounce anything on this show.
I know, right? We should just get dictionaries and thesauruses and those YouTube videos that tell you how to pronounce stuff.
Yeah, we should. Jimmy Simpson and Topher Grace are in it, though, so thumbs up. On June 29th, there's four of them. Sicario 2 comes out. The drug war on the U.S.-Mexico border has escalated as the cartels have begun trafficking terrorists across the U.S. border. We've also got Uncle Drew. After draining his life savings to enter a team in the Rucker Classic Street ball tourney, Dax ends up losing his team to a longtime rival. He's desperate to win the tournament and cash prize, stumbles on the man and the myth, the legend, Uncle Drew, which is NBA star Kyrie Irving, and convinces him to head to the court once more. Sales point, if you're not convinced, Tiffany Haddish is in this one. The Hustle. It's a remake of the 88 comedy Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, where two down-and-out con artists engage in a loser-leaves-town contest. Leads with Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson.
Mm.
There is a lot happening in June.
I'm so tired.
I know. Yeah, me too. John, out of all 15 of those, it feels like, what are you most looking forward to?
Well, I'm going to surprise you and say none of those. As much as I want to say Sicario 2, I can't because Hotel Artemis is coming out. Did you guys see this?
Like, is it coming to a theater?
Yeah, it's coming to the theater.
All right, you can talk about it.
All right, so Hotel Artemis, it's set in a riot-torn near-future Los Angeles. So figure, in my mind, it's the hotel that everyone goes to in John Wick, only the hospital version of it, and the cast is nuts. Sophia Boutella, Dave Bautista, Jeff Goldblum, Jenny Slate, Sterling K. Brown, Jodie Foster, and yeah, that's the one I'm most excited for.
When's that come out?
June 8th.
Okay.
Well, thank you.
She's got you covered.
Yeah, she's got me right here. Unlike some people, she got my back.
For me, it's Hereditary because there's been a lot of hype about that movie being just a phenomenal horror film. And I'm excited to see that. I've heard that from many people. I have a friend that saw it at Sundance and said the same thing. So I'm kind of going with that theory that it's going to be a great horror movie. Outside of that one, Ocean's 8. I love the Ocean's movies. I love a good heist flick, and there aren't enough of them. And really, nothing else is shaking my tree, as they say. Or no one really says it, but I say it. So.
You probably shouldn't.
Okay.
Shaking your tree.
Okay.
Like nobody.
John might.
Not anymore.
If you pay me enough.
I didn't have his back.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I'll shake Amanda's tree.
Whoa.
Hey, no. We're not that kind of podcast.
Well, I think that there's a lot of good ones that are coming out, but Under the Silver Lake kind of got my attention. I'm with you on Hereditary because it does look really intriguing and hopefully will creep me out, but I have such low expectations for horror movies anymore that Under the Silver Lake looks like an interesting type thriller, and it's got a great cast.
It's from the director of It Follows.
Well, you know what? Give people chances.
I gave him one.
Whoa,
It what? Follows.
Give him a second chance.
All right. It does look interesting. It really does.
It's got Jimmy Simpson, and I know you like him.
I will watch it because Jimmy Simpson's in it. Yes. Yep. But I'll probably watch Superfly because I love the original.
Why did we need a remake of it?
We didn't. Why do we need a remake of Shaft? We didn't, but it's great.
Sequel of The Incredibles? We don't.
Oh, there's fans that need it.
I know. Somebody's going to write me a letter or something. But
yeah.
Oh, well.
Oofa.
So what about some smaller independent films or Netflix originals?
My number one pick would be Won't You Be My Neighbor on June 8th, which is an exploration of the life lessons and legacy of the iconic children's host, Fred Rogers. I don't really get into documentaries, and they're not really my big recommendation typically, but he is one of the rare TV personalities that tried to do something really, really special and did it with nothing but decency and earnestness. And he was just one of the most special people in entertainment over the course of the last 50 years. And I can't wait to watch whatever they came up with. I heard good things about it, and I can't wait to see what this film is and what it covers, because he seems like a genuinely great man, just as a person. And I want to support that.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my picks too. One of the ones that I found that I thought was interesting was another documentary called Three Identical Strangers in New York, 1980. Three complete strangers accidentally discovered that they are identical triplets separated at birth. The 19-year-olds are joyous reunion catapults them into international fame, but unlocks an extraordinary and disturbing secret behind their own lives. I just find this fascinating. The whole story is interesting. And yeah, I can't wait to see what kind of mystery they unfold in this documentary.
Okay. Do you have one, Amanda?
I have three. So if you guys have any more, I can.
No. Just unload.
Just go ahead and take all the time you need.
I'll be quick. Mary Shelley comes out, which is based on the Frankenstein author and her passionate
love. I thought they came out May 25th. Did they change the date? Or
from what I saw online, there's some that says that it's May and then some that I've seen more that say June.
Okay.
So it could be that there's an early release in May and then maybe another distribution in June.
Okay.
Not totally sure. But then there's also Blackwater, which...
Well, tell people what Mary Shelley is. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, it's okay. She was the author of Frankenstein. So it's going to be a movie based on her life and the love that she had. And then there's also Blackwater, which comes out on video on demand June 25th. And this one, Aaron, you are going to be all about. It's an action undersea thriller flick with Jean-Claude Van Damme and Dolph Lundgren with CIA and prisoner elements.
Underwater?
Underwater.
It's like Universal Aquaman.
I wouldn't think of it as much like that, but yeah, it's going to be really interesting to say the least.
Is there a shark involved?
I hope so.
They need to throw one in there. Why wouldn't you have it underwater unless you're going to?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting.
I hope Jason Momoa shows up at the end.
I do too. Then there's the last, my man. There's a last one that's coming out, which is my top pick, and that is Hearts Beat Loud. It's a feel-good father-daughter indie flick that comes out on June 8th about a daughter who's about to head off to UCLA when the two of them start a band together, and the father might have to accept closing his record shop. I got in my feels, and I teared up a little bit, and it has Nick Offerman, Kiersey Clements, and Ted Danson in it.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, so
Ted Danson's a charming actor.
He really is. Yeah, really definitely.
He is.
So those are a few good ones that I found that'll be coming out.
Man, there's a lot of great... Seriously, they got too many movies coming. It's almost like between TV and movies, I'm just going to stop watching stuff and go outside.
Right.
You're going to have to. You're either going to have to completely indulge and give up all of your hobbies so you can watch all the good things coming out, or you just need to cut yourself off and walk away.
Exactly. Start reading, whatever that is. I mean,
Who needs to read?
Maybe I can... Yeah, I'll just wait for the movie. Yeah.
Read the subtitles on your movies. There you go. What's something that stood out about the films this month, or did you guys learn anything interesting when you were looking through some of them?
Well, June's definitely like the Groundhog Day of summer. Like, this is where the groundhog pokes out and says, is there a Marvel movie coming? No. Okay, everybody release all your movies. And that's what I noticed the most when I'm looking at this month. It's nuts how much we have out there. There's not enough time to watch everything.
What I noticed is there's only one weekend where there isn't a sequel or a spinoff. I guess you could call Ocean's 8 a spinoff. Only one weekend where there isn't a franchise of some sort happening. And to me, it feels like it's like this often in summer, but every year it really reinforces the fact that Hollywood doesn't want to do much original stuff. But on the same token, there's a couple really clever ideas in the month, and I think that's interesting. But there, if you look through the titles Amanda talked about, spinoff, sequel, remake, spinoff, sequel, remake, spinoff, sequel, remake. I mean, there's just so many that are into one of those camps that really just boggle my mind.
The first week looks like the only one that's not.
Well, and even that, even Action Point, kind of is a spinoff of Jackass in a way.
Yeah.
So,
so really there are no weeks. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, now we just talked to Aaron out of believing that there's a week with no sequel or spinoff. I know.
All that fun facting that he found, I just ruined.
Good job.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
You know what, Aaron? We need to start this podcast all over again, and you need to do your research better next time.
Fair. Did you find anything, Amanda?
Oh, that's right. John already went.
Yeah.
So I was surprised that there was a limited amount of the video on demand releases that are coming out, and from what I found from Netflix as well. But the ones that are coming out all seem like really good ones. It doesn't seem like we're going to get a lot of releases that are just kind of mediocre in terms of video on demand. It seems like that's going to be much stronger than our theater releases. Because as you mentioned, those theater releases, we have a couple good ones in there for sure. And we have a couple originals, but a lot of them are just the franchises. In terms of new property ideas, we're a little bit limited in the theater aspect.
It's going to streaming or video on demand now. That's where those movies are going.
Yeah. And those ones seem really good. I'm just surprised by how good those ones seem.
Yep. I'm a big fan. I'm not. I prefer the theater experience, but I'm trying to be positive for the people that like them. So there you go.
I would like to see and I hope that Hearts Beat Loud gets to a theater. But I have no idea if it will.
That sounds like a small character piece, so probably not.
Yeah.
They need to have an explosion. Nick Offerman needs to blow up at some point randomly.
He can do that on command.
I heard that about him.
And it's not like really an explosion. He just like puffs his chest and it's like this manly, burly chest of fur comes out and it's just amazing.
I'm sold. I mean, it makes sense to me.
So what's your overall verdict on this month? Do you guys think it's going to be good or are you going to do something else?
Good enough. I mean, it's good enough. There's a lot of titles where I'm going to keep busy, and summer's definitely where I prefer movies over television, so I will go to the theater. And there's something I want to see every single weekend. there's less exciting releases, I think. So it's just good enough. I mean, Jurassic World 2, I really love the first one. I don't care anybody's. I really love the first one. It's a lot of fun. But the whole, it's a volcano and they got to scare, I don't know about all that, but I'll still watch it. But there's a lot to watch. I'm really excited about Sicario 2. I mean, even though I didn't think I needed it, looks like a great trailer. So
Sicario 2, I'm really there for. I'm really interested to see Jurassic World 2. Yeah, Tag. I mean, okay. That looks ridiculous, stupid, and awesome. And I can't wait to spend time with those people and make them my best friends in the whole wide world. Ocean's 8. Yeah, I mean, I'm okay with that. And then I'm done, I think.
Then you rest. On the sixth day, you rest.
There's some pretty good ones that are good movies that are coming out that are going to be great to see with friends that aren't comic book movies, which is kind of nice. Mm-hmm. They're not all huge blockbusters.
The hell you say.
But I mean, even with like Ocean's 8 or you mentioned Tag, those are going to be really good movies to grab a group of friends with and go see it. You know, if you're into, well, also Sicario 2, that'll be pretty good to see with friends. But I mean, if you're into Incredibles, then I guess it might be fun to take children or something.
That's not a children's movie.
The Incredibles 2?
Not a
children's movie.
How is it not a children's movie?
It is, but there's also a movement on the internet who is trying to explain to people how it's not for kids. It's for the kids who grew up watching it the first time it came out, like 30 years ago.
What?
I think it's still for kids.
I think it's still for kids.
Sounds like a dumb movement.
There's a movement?
It's just, the internet's stupid is basically what it boils down to.
This is just ridiculous.
Is there a real movement?
Yeah, there really is.
What?
For the Incredibles. What? For the mediocres.
What's the movement? Well, a lot of people love that first movie, but what's the movement? What is there to complain about here? I don't get it.
There's a, like, I don't know, the kids who grew up watching, let's see.
I mean, it basically sounds like the older kids are the more adults are like, this is my kid's movie. You guys can't have it.
Basically is what it is. That's the kids who grew up watching it the first time are turning around and telling writing articles right now saying how kids who are getting it now do not deserve it. And it's not for them.
This is annoying.
I really hate the internet because I at work, these articles show up and I end up reading them and they get stuck in my head and then I can't find them again. So I start wondering whether or not I made them up at all.
I mean, it is possible, but this is very elaborate and also ridiculous.
I don't even understand what is going on, but okay. People need to get a hobby if you really, this is my movie. What? What?
Why weren't you told to share as a child? Instead of watching The Incredibles, you should have been learning to share your toys.
I just don't
millennials
understand.
Don't share.
Yeah, I don't understand the complaint. But well, it's not a millennials thing. It just sounds like it's a whiny thing. Don't lump everybody together. It's a whiny thing.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, but you know, I hear millennials have sensitive feelings. All right, Patreon supporters.
So it's okay for you to do it.
Before we move on to July, we wanted to take a second and extend our thank you to our Patreon supporters who donated generously at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. If you support the hoe with just $5 a month, you receive 2 bonus episodes every month, but there are other tiers that are cheaper than that if you'd prefer. So please check that out if you'd like to support the podcast.
Your mission. Should you choose to accept it? I wonder, did you ever choose not to? The end you always feared is coming. And the blood will be on your hands. The fallout of all your good intentions.
Now let's move on to July. John, get ready to do the thing you love to do, which is read.
Yay!
And we love to listen to.
Yeah, right? Let's see what kind of words I can throw together and make one word out of right now. So on July 4th, we have The First Purge, which, surprise, it's about The First Purge, people. Marissa Tomei's in it, Lex Scott Davis, Mo McRae. I mean, nobody really special except for Marissa Tomei. So, okay, if you're into The First Purge, let's do it. Then after that, we have our next Marvel showing, which is on 7/6. We have Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is something I'm pretty excited with. As Scott Lang balances both superhero and fatherdom, Hope Van Dyne and Dr. Hank Pym are trying to yeah, it's a big mission thing. It's a comic book movie. Peyton Reed's coming back to direct it. Evangeline Lilly is going to show up and be the Wasp and be amazing and awesome and hot. It's going to be great. Paul Rudd's going to be funny and charming, and Michael Douglas is Michael Douglas. Then also that same weekend, we have Sorry to Bother You, which is, I think, of what I've read so far, the first original thing. In an alternate present-day version of Oakland, a telemarketer, Cassius Green, discovers a magical key to professional success, propelling him into a macabre universe. Directed by Boots Riley, written by Boots Riley. It's got Tessa Thompson, Armie Hammer, Patton Oswalt, and Lakeith Stanfield. That one looks awesome and like a lot of fun. Then the sequel that nobody asked for, Hotel Transylvania 3 on July 13th.
I disagree. I would love to see this movie.
Oh, shit. He's here. I forgot. So Mavis surprises Dracula with a family vacation on a luxury monster cruise ship. Drac falls in love. Mavis isn't really thrilled with it. The captain is kind of hot. Her name's Erica. It's going to be a cute little family romp in the ocean, starring Adam Sandler, Catherine Hahn, Andy Samberg, Selena Gomez. Need to take a break for a second, because coming up next, we have Skyscraper on 713. It's Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Pablo Schreiber, Nev Campbell, Noah Taylor, FBI hostage rescue team leader and U.S. war veteran Will Sayer. You know what? It's gonna be fun. I guess he runs around and hobbles on a prosthetic leg that they make work. I mean, it's the tower.
It's Die Hard.
Go ahead, let's do it.
Die Hard in the tower.
Die Hard in the tower. Right. We thought Die Hard was gonna be a bad idea. This is probably gonna be a bad idea, but we're still gonna watch it and have a lot of fun because it's a rock. Then we have what I can't believe how excited I am for this. Equalizer 2 on 720. Robert McCall serves an unflinching justice for the exploited and oppressed. But how far will he go when it's somebody that he loves? Directed by Antoine Fuqua, Denzel Washington returns, Pedro Pascal shows up for this one, Bill Pullman, Melissa Leo. Let's do this. Nobody asked for this. I'm upset that it's happening. But Mamma Mia, here we go again on 720. And I love the description. This is a sequel to Mamma Mia.
True.
But it's also a prequel.
Oh,
it's got the mix of
it. It's got Lily James. So I might go see it.
I haven't seen the first one, but I'm going to see this one because of her.
They found the one way to get me to go.
Yep.
Who's Lily James again, and why is she important?
Cinderella, Pride,
Baby Driver.
Princess. Yeah, there you go.
Okay, Baby Driver, sold. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right. And then this is something that Amanda has been chomping at the bit for.
Oh, yeah, can't
Mission
wait.
Impossible Fallout on 727. Ethan Hunt and his IMF team, along with some familiar allies, race against time on another mission gone wrong. I love how little they had to tell you, basically. It's every single Mission Impossible. They race against time after a mission gone wrong.
Tom Cruise will run.
Rebecca Ferguson is back. That's all I care about. I mean, Tom Cruise is here, and that's cool. And Henry Cavill shows up with his mustache, and everyone's been talking about it for a year now. But I'm really down for more Mission Impossible. I love every single movie. Let's do this. And then finally, coming up, we have Teen Titans Go to the Movies on 727. A villain's maniacal plan for world domination sidetracks five teenage superheroes who dream of Hollywood stardom. And the best part of this is that Nicolas Cage is going to voice Superman for this one.
Finally.
The moment we've all been waiting
for. We've all dreamed of this for years. That's finally going to happen.
He's like, this is my moment.
This is going to be it. All right, Amanda, what are you looking forward to this month?
Well, there's
well, that just went through every emotion.
I'm like looking over this list and there's some that are meh, and then there's some that are like, okay, I could see that. So I haven't seen the first Ant-Man, and I'm doing a rewatch right now, so I'm going to.
What?
I know. I'm tragic. But that's actually the one I'm most looking forward to, is the Ant-Man and the Wasp, because I love Paul Rudd so much.
Love him so much you didn't see his last one.
I'm going to, okay? I'm working on it. I'm going to do it this weekend. But that one looks good. Skyscraper looks ridiculous. I can't say if I'm excited for it, but I'm gonna see it.
My favorite part in the trailer is where he makes the jump across from a crane to the building and gets caught up on a rope and then pulls on his prosthetic leg, which you know is gonna happen. It's gonna be dramatic tension. I just love it. Gosh. I'm so excited.
It's so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I just can't.
You know, the thing that I think is awesome is that they that skyscraper looks so ridiculous, but yet all of us are going to end up watching it because it's The Rock, and every movie he's done looks so ridiculous, but they're so much fun.
I still haven't seen Rampage, but yeah, I mean, you've got a point. I mean, will draw you in.
The Rock will draw me. And Neve Campbell. I haven't seen her that much in a long time, and I love Neve Campbell.
Yeah, who gave her a job again?
The Rock, most likely.
Most likely.
But I'll be honest with you, I like the Hotel Transylvania movies, and I'm not ashamed of it. So if there's a cartoon I got to see this summer, it's going to be that one.
Why isn't Jason voicing him?
Who?
Jason Segel, however you say his name. I'm not good with pronunciation either.
From Forgetting Sarah Marshall, do his little, I am back. Because it's Adam Sandler's movie, that's why.
I don't care. That's what I want.
Mm. I'm most excited for Equalizer, too. I mean, I saw that, and I'm just like, what? Because I love the first one, man. I've rewatched it probably like 10 times. It gets better every time. I love that movie.
Seriously?
Love it. Yeah. I love it.
I've seen it. I know I've seen it. I just don't remember it.
Well, let me recap you. It's awesome. And Denzel's awesome.
And I like
him. The fight scenes are awesome. And he kicks ass at a Home Depot. I mean, top that.
You can't.
Yeah, that's one thing I'm really hoping happens in this one, where he uses some sort of store. Like, I want to see him kick ass in a Pier 1.
That would be great.
Glass would shatter everywhere.
Oh, I would watch the hell out of that. Shoot.
He just ends by sitting on one of the furniture pieces.
I want him to have a fight out at a McDonald's Playland. That's what I want to see.
Oh.
Huh? What about
we're just rewriting all sorts of new equalizers to keep the series going.
We're on Equalizer 8 at this point.
Where are we at with The Purge? Are we still needing Purge movies? Are we over that as a concept? I thought it looked kind of clanky.
How do we incorporate it into real life at this point? Just
I got a feeling it could happen.
It's kind of already happening. It's just not legal. So I don't know. I think that the last one that we saw was kind of mediocre. I really, really liked the first one. I enjoyed the second.
I love the second one.
Yeah.
I love Frank Grillo.
But I don't know. I don't think that this one really wows me at all. I've seen it. It's happened a few times.
Mm-hmm.
What more can we see?
I don't need to see it where it begins. Even with trying to put Marissa Tomei in there, she can be a draw, but I don't need to see where the story begins. I enjoyed the first three movies. I don't need to see, let's show you how it all screwed up, because it really does feel like we're kind of watching it now.
Yep, I'm with you. How about Mission Impossible? Are we all still on that train?
I'm still on that train.
I never was on it.
Tom Cruise?
I watched it go by, and I waved. But Henry, he might get me to watch it. Solely
Tom Cruise actually broke his ankle in this movie. Since you don't like him, that should be fun.
Right.
Is it broken in the movie?
Is this the scene?
Yeah. I mean, he did his own stunt and he broke it in the
movie. And that's what I've always said. He is a great stuntsman. He is a...
Stuntman. Yeah. It's like a Kingsman.
I know, right? He's a great stunt man. And, you know, I like that he does his own stunts.
You just wish he'd get hurt more.
Well, also, he's taking away jobs from actual stunts people, but he's going to get paid regardless. His acting just takes me out of it. But I do want to see what the whole... I mean, this mustache really did create so much drama that it's almost worth it to go see why. And he still looks attractive, but he looks a little weird with it. I don't know. He could have gone without it. They would have been fine.
Wait. Okay, what just happened?
I went through a lot of emotions.
You did, yeah.
You really just did. I don't even know where to go with this.
I saw the trailer and finally saw the mustache. And for those that don't know the story, I mean, welcome to the world of the internet. But Henry Cavill had to keep his mustache when they did reshoots for Justice League, and they had to CGI it out. And a lot of people were talking about how it ruined Justice League, which it did not. That's just silly. But anyway, so here we finally see the mustache in full.
In question.
I don't see any reason they couldn't put a fake mustache on that face. It wasn't that impressive.
It didn't even look real.
No, I mean, it already looked generic, so just put a generic one on there. I've seen some pretty magnificent fake mustaches in my day.
Why did he need a mustache? What was the purpose? What purpose
it
did
was
that
just Paramount
serve?
Being a jerk about it. That's all it really was. Yeah. Paramount was like, no, we're not going to put prosthesis on his face. That's all it is. The thing that I loved the most about this mustache thing was him saying goodbye to his mustache on his Instagram or whatever.
That was that
video. Yeah. Henry Cavill needs to be in more things just off of that video. Like, he has so much charm and charisma about him. I don't know how he's going to measure up against Rebecca Ferguson, really. I mean, it's going to be close.
He's pretty adorable. My favorite thing about that whole thing is when Fairmont said, we can't have him shave it because it'll affect everything. And I'm just sitting here going, did you see Murder on the Orient Express? Because that was a magnificently ridiculous mustache that worked, and it was completely fake. So it can be done. It absolutely can be done.
Or just get rid of it. Maybe have him shave it in the movie. I don't know. Maybe use it.
Now we're kidding. Now we're getting a little extreme. Okay, we need the mustache. It's a character. It has a story to tell. Hopefully we get the origin.
It had its own script, guys.
I'm going to elbow my way into this conversation now and go, any smaller independent films or Netflix originals coming out this month, Aaron?
Eighth Grade comes out July 13th. I'm sorry. Elsie Fisher stars as a teenager who's trying to survive the last week of her disastrous eighth grade year before leaving to start high school. She's struggling to find a voice as she's an outcast. The reason why this one stood out is this movie premiered at South by Southwest, which I was at this year, and I was not able to see it, but I heard a lot of people talk about it and say that this is one of those movies that really will speak to young women that are, you know, going through a lot of, you know, going through biological changes, going through emotional changes as they exit eighth grade and go into their freshman years. And I just, it sounds like a very deep, layered coming of age tale. I know that's overdone these days, but it sounds very powerful and it looks interesting.
It does look good. So if you want to know what I would recommend, Aaron just stole it.
Sweet.
See above. Okay.
See above. John, do you have six?
Well, the one that has my attention because Micah Monroe stars in it as Michaela is Hot Summer Nights. And the only reason why I want to see it is really because I want to see her do more things. And she was in The Guest. She was in The Fifth Wave. She's been a bunch of different stuff. Well, I didn't see The Fifth Wave, but I'm Not Here. So many different movies that I've enjoyed, and I like her performances in every single one of them. So, Hot Summer Nights.
All right.
What did you learn about this month there, Amanda?
How these dumbass movies still keep getting made because of The Rock. They know they're going to sell tickets. That's really thing I took away most from this.
Can you say that nicer this again, you know, this time? Say it again, but nicer.
These lovely, ridiculous, dumb movies continue to get made only because they star The Rock. That's the only reason they can get away with these plots, these storylines.
You
know,
you got to be more sensitive about these whole things because there's a lot of people who like seeing the movies that The Rock are in just because The Rock's in it.
Well, so, I'm one of those people. Mm-hmm. The movies are still dumb, though. I know they're dumb. I go into them knowing they're dumb.
Jumanji, I thought, was actually kind of
That one was great. Yeah, I did enjoy that a lot. But a lot of The Rock's, I mean, just even looking at the trailer for Rampage, I know I'm bringing it up a second time, but it just looks stupid.
Oh, it's stupid.
But it still makes you want to go see it just because of The Rock. That's all you need.
I'll be honest. If they had a movie called The Rock and it's just The Rock just talking to you randomly.
Like reading a phone book?
Yeah, or giving life advice. Here's how you rock life or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe you call it that. I would go see it. I would pay money for that.
Yep.
He's a charmer.
People downloaded his alarm clock thing or whatever. No problem. No hesitation. That thing was great. Whatever. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but it was just a little thing that gave you like motivational things from him.
Yeah. It was actually a really good alarm clock. It was like one of the few alarm clocks that were allowed to be used at 5 a.m. in my household.
Because he's so charming and sweet. And he seems like a genuinely sweet guy. You want to always support him, even with his terrible screenplay choices.
I noticed two things, okay? One, that if you look at every single week in July, there is a franchise film. There's either a sequel, a remake, or a spinoff.
So you copied and pasted. It's basically what you did for each
sounds
month.
Like they did, is really what it comes down to. That's my first thing. My other thing is that Hotel Transylvania 3... Apparently, Adam Sandler, because he has a deal with Netflix, so he makes some movies over there. Outside of Hotel Transylvania, he doesn't make movies that go to the theater anymore.
Intentionally?
Well, he doesn't need to.
Well, no, I realize he doesn't need to, but that's the only franchise that he will still make movies that go to the actual theater. Everything else goes to Netflix nowadays because of his new deal or newish deal. I just found that interesting that the guy used to be, I mean, he used to be an actor. A lot of people don't realize it. His movies open regularly, $40 million, you know, over the weekend. They regularly were huge deals. Didn't matter what the plot was, didn't matter with anything. Even Jack and Jill did decent money. So, I mean, he was always a bankable actor, and he took this Netflix deal, and granted his career was waning a little bit, but it wasn't waning that much, where he could have bounced back pretty easy. And now he's almost completely moved away from theaters.
I wonder if that's intentional and what his reasoning would be. I adore him as an actor. I know he gets a lot of hate.
I like Adam Sandler. I don't care what people
think. I love him. I mean, his older movies, even his newer movies, I don't think are terrible. They're a little ridiculous, but they're like, he's kind of like The Rock. He's not at the same level of adorable and charm.
He's not trying to make art films. Well, he actually has, and he's actually a really good actor when he does art films. Mm-hmm. So people should watch more of that.
Yeah, I think he's got talent. He just gets too much hate.
Well, I think he did the smart thing. I think before he wore out his welcome, he moved to a different platform in which his fans can appreciate him without drawing too much attention to himself.
I would agree with that, and I would also emphasize how smart that decision is in hindsight, because now everybody wants to be affiliated with Netflix.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, there's so much happening on Netflix, but I think he sort of saw the writing on the wall for the movie star, quote unquote. Like, he saw what he was going to be able to bring the world anymore. And instead of being hamstrung into whatever it could be, like having to do these massive big budget movies that he is not a star of, instead of being hamstrung into that, he decided to target to lower end fare. And I think that was business-wise brilliant.
Totally. Yeah, agree. I think he's smart for doing what he did. Whether he realized it or not, I'm sure he did and made that intentional move. He really got himself in a great position.
Yeah.
John, did you learn anything or find out anything?
Did you learn anything?
You know, I didn't learn anything until just then. I'm going to be honest. I mean, the month, like, this is Control-C, Control-V, June. And, yeah, I was like, okay, well, but then you brought up that whole fact. And, yeah, thank you for learning me something.
You're welcome. Now let's talk about Mission Impossible and Tom Cruise. And is that the only thing that he can make money at anymore?
I don't think you want me to talk.
You really don't like him at all, do you?
Okay, I will make this explanation and I will keep it brief. I do not dislike Tom Cruise.
Too long.
Just because of where I stopped at? Yeah. I think he is great with his stunts. I think he is very talented with his stunts. But as an actor, he is completely overrated. For me, most of the time, when I watch a movie that he's in, the movie genuinely tends to be decent. It's not a bad movie that he's in. Mm-hmm. But I always sit there and I feel like I'm not getting any emotional impact from his acting. And I always feel like there could be somebody else who would make this movie better. So he's just very overrated. And I don't think that his acting abilities are as great as his stunt abilities. I think he would be much better as just a stunts person.
Turns out not so much. He broke an ankle.
But I mean, after how many years and he's still doing it and he's got a broken ankle. I mean,
I think it was he broke something, whatever it was. Because I'm sure somebody's like, well, no, this is actually his fourth pinky toe. I don't, whatever it was.
There was some foot damage happening. So did he not make any money with American Made? Did nobody go see that?
It wasn't a big hit, no. He hasn't had a real big hit in a while. I think Edge of Tomorrow made $100 million, but it eked by. And Jack Reacher, the first one, did pretty good. He hasn't had a movie that was an outright flop. He's not a movie star anymore. I mean, he opens reasonably. His movies do reasonably, but he's not a movie star. I think overseas he's still a little bigger, but yeah.
I think that's kind of okay, though, because just like with Adam Sandler and with The Rock, I mean, everyone knows what kind of movie they should be making. Sure, I think I haven't seen American Made. It was something that was on my radar, but then it just went right past me. But like, I like Mission Impossible. I liked Edge of Tomorrow. Oblivion was pretty great. Jack Reacher is fun. They're all movies that I can sit down and watch and enjoy. They don't have to be they don't have to be like blockbusters or anything, or anything that really like makes me want to light the house on fire. I just have to be able to sit down and say, you know what, that was 2 hours of my life I'm not ashamed to no longer have ownership of.
I wasn't knocking Cruise in particular. I was just saying, in terms of, is it the only thing that he has really where he's bankable every single time in this franchise? Like that, those movies always do well, where his other movies haven't been doing that well. So people still love those movies. They don't necessarily still love Tom Cruise to the level they did 10 years ago, 20 years ago.
Right. Well, that might have something to do with the branding of Mission Impossible, too. There's still a lot of baby boomers who see Mission Impossible and they're like, yeah, we're going to go see that movie.
Absolutely. Yep.
And also for American Made, Sean Fuller had seen it and he really liked it. Super loved it. And he's not a big Tom Cruise fan.
I saw it. It was good.
It was good. So
apparently he can still make good movies. It's just that they're not going to burn the house down or anything like that.
Didn't you already use that analogy? What is it with the house?
I did.
Why do you want a house to burn down?
Did you up your insurance or something?
Maybe.
He must have reviewed with his agent recently.
All right. So what do you think, Aaron? You're going to stay inside the house or are you going to
burn it?
You're going to play video games or something? Maybe burn it down? What are you going to do?
I think this is a solid month. There, once again, there's something I want to see every single weekend, except for First Purge. I really don't know if I care about that. But thankfully, we got Ant-Man that week, so I'll definitely check that out. And sorry to bother you. I've heard Brian saw it before at South By, and he said it was really good. So there's something every weekend. So good month. And there's no great month so far, though. Just good.
Yeah, this one kind of falls to the wayside for me. There's a couple good ones that I'll see, but I don't expect them to wow me. Ant-Man will probably be the one that, Equalizer 2 will probably be really interesting as an action flick and everything, but I don't know.
How about Mamma Mia?
I'm excited for that one just because of Lily James.
Did you see the first one?
Not at all. No, and I'm not going to.
Because but here we go again, you know? I mean, we're going to do this.
Oh my gosh. No, I'm not going to see the first one, but I will see this sequel. I mean, I hope I understand it. I think I will. They're going to give you the before and the after, so.
Are they going to have the Whitesnake cover? Here we go again, oh my, oh.
Cher's in it.
If Lily James would sing that, I would buy a ticket for opening night.
I'll probably go the Thursday that it comes out.
And slides across a car.
You're ridiculous.
Keep going.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to skip this and go to Summerfest instead from majority of these.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go to What's This Movie then. I'm sorry, John. What did you think of this month?
You know, what I thought was not that important. This definitely feels like it's an all downhill from here kind of month. I'm going to be going to the theater nearly every weekend. This one doesn't really get me lit up for a lot of the VOD options. So, yeah, this is going to be... I'm definitely going to the theater, maybe playing outside. I'll probably pick up a sport ball. Who knows?
All right.
What's This Movie? We play a clip suggested either by a host or a listener. If you know what it is, please email us at feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com or through the contact tab in the app, and we'll give you a proper host shout out. It's going to be about 30 seconds, give or take. Amanda, what's the clue?
As difficult and as frustrating as it's been sometimes, your goddamn strict rationalism and science have saved me 1,000 times over. You kept me honest. You made me a whole person. I owe you everything. Scully, you owe me nothing. I don't know if I want to do this alone.
Now we go into August. We are back to August. So, again, if you know what that clip was, email us feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com.
You should. I mean, I feel like you should.
I feel like you should, too. Yeah.
I feel like it's going to be surprising.
You obviously haven't heard it. Yeah. All right. So, Mile 22 is the first movie we're talking about. Comes out on August 3rd. An elite American intelligence officer, aided by a top-secret tactical command unit, tries to smuggle a mysterious police officer with sensitive information out of the country. It stars, get ready for this, Mark Wahlberg in a Peter Berg film, because he works with him in every other movie now. Also stars Laura Cohen from Walking Dead. She's great. And also Ronda Rousey. My guess is she'll lose. All right. Then we've got Disney's Christopher Robin, a working-class family man. Christopher Robin encounters his childhood friend, Winnie the Pooh, who helps him to rediscover the joys of life. Stars Ewan McGregor and Hayley Atwell. It's like a family-friendly Ted.
Oh. I'm going to cry. I'm seriously bringing my tissues.
It's got Haley Atwell. So am I. The Darkest Minds, imprisoned by an adult.
That was so delayed.
Imprisoned by an adult world that now fears everyone under 18. A group of teens form a resistance group to fight back and reclaim control of their future. Lastly, The Spy Who Dumped Me. Audrey is played by Mila Kunis, and Morgan, Kate McKinnon, are best friends who unwittingly become entangled in an international conspiracy when one of the women discovers the boyfriend who dumped her was actually a spy. Moving on to August 10th, The Meg. After escaping, I love the book and I want to see the movie, but every time I see anything with The Meg, I laugh. After escaping an attack by what he claims was a 70-foot shark, Jonas Taylor must confront his fears to save those trapped in a sunken submersible. And yeah, it's going to be an ancient shark that he's got to fight, and I'm sure he's going to quip the hell against. Also on August 10th, Black Klansman, Spike Lee returns to direct Ron Stallworth. An African-American police officer from Colorado successfully managed to infiltrate the local Ku Klux Klan and became the head of the local chapter. It looks like an interesting concept. I mean, yeah. African-American police officer infiltrates the Klan. I'm really curious to see how that plays out.
Did you read the part where it's based on true story?
I did. That's
all right.
It's going to be interesting.
I guess I could look at Wikipedia and find out and save myself some time, right? Dog
that
days.
Wasn't my point, oh. But yeah. He
It actually happens, what you're telling me.
Right.
I gotcha. Dog Days follows a group of interconnected people in Los Angeles who are brought together by their lovable canine counterparts. Nina Dobrev and Finn Wolfhard star in this one. It's about people and their dogs. I think John and my wife are going to be at the theater seeing this one on opening night. August... Yeah, hold on. You can talk about how much you want to see this movie in a minute. August 17th, Alpha, a story of survival set 20,000 years ago during the last ice age, directed by Albert Hughes. Crazy Rich Asians, which I've heard a lot of hype about, so people are getting pretty excited for this one. Three wealthy Chinese families prepare for the wedding of the year, directed by John Chu, stars Constance Wu and Michelle Yeoh. The Happy Time Murders, yeah, when it's basically the episode from Angel. When the puppet cast of an 80s children's TV show begins to get murdered one by one, a disgraced LAPD detective turned private eye puppet takes on the case and is directed by Brian Henson.
Oh my God.
Everything about that is amazing. Captive State, set in a Chicago neighborhood nearly a decade after an occupation by an extraterrestrial force, Captive State explores the lives on both sides of the conflict, the collaborators, and dissidents. And I want to mention that Rupert Wyatt directs it, who did the first Rise of the Planet of the Apes. So, Okay. Oh, we got a couple more left. Whew. August 24th, Replicas. A daring synthetic biologist, after a car accident, kills his family. Will stop at nothing to bring them back. Even if it means pitting himself against a government-controlled laboratory, a police task force, and the physical laws of science. And it stars Keanu Reeves.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's all you need.
Because nothing says scientists like Keanu Reeves. Slender Man tells the story of a tall, thin, horrifying figure with unnaturally long arms and a featureless face who is reputed to be responsible for the haunting and disappearance of countless children and teens. I don't know if that movie's in bad taste, but I think it probably is. August 31st, Kin. And go look at the Wikipedia true story behind that one if you don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sure somebody will probably bring that up. August 31st, last one, Kin, chased by a vengeful criminal played by James Franco. The feds and a gang of otherworldly soldiers recently released ex-con Jack Rayner and his adopted teenage brother, Miles Truitt, are forced to go on the run with a weapon of mysterious origin as their only protection, and also stars Dennis Quaid. James Franco, once again, will do anything for a check. All right.
Side note, I thought you were going to say Miles Teller, and I was waiting for a really interesting reaction to that.
This is why this summer is the best summer in the last few years, because there's no Miles Teller movie. I'm sorry, mild Teller movie. Yeah. All right. So what are you most looking forward to? That is a lot of releases. I feel like there's more in August than there are in any other month. John, what do you want to see?
So I had no idea what the hell the Happy Time Murders is all about. And I am now like perusing the images on the internet about Happy Time Murders. And I'm looking at puppets in a strip club.
Mm-hmm. So he's sold.
I'm so excited for Happy Time Murders.
Yeah, that's not my most excited
for. It's mine.
Christopher Robin. I cannot wait. It's surely my most excited and anticipated for August. I have always adored Winnie the Pooh, and it's actually Pooh Bear is actually my nickname through my family, so it has like special sentiment, the Winnie the Pooh does. So I can't wait to see Christopher Robin. I'm definitely going to cry. I'm bringing my on-the-go Kleenex tissues, and it'll be a great time. But I am going to see Ken as well, because got to support James Franco.
I did see the trailer for the Winnie the Pooh movie, and it looks delightful, honestly. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that sarcastically, and I show it's hard to tell with me. I understand. It looks like a very delightful, sweet, charming film about a guy talking to his teddy bear. It's interesting. It's weird, and it looks really cool. Like it's a really unique idea that I think will work.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. There's lots of good ones though in August.
Man, yeah. Happy Time Murders. And Crazy Rich Asians is one of those where people keep talking about it. I keep seeing on the internet people are talking about it. So I really want to see that and find out what that's about. I know it's based on a book that I have not read. I will probably not read it, but I will definitely still check it out. And I can't say enough about The Meg, because the book is really good. God. And fun fact, here's a fun fact. I'm going to, well, you know what? I'll save
it. I was going to say, save it for your section.
Okay. The one thing I'm not excited about is Black Klansman, and that's because Spike Lee is a director who has failed me a lot the last decade, but the story is really intriguing. So I don't know where I land on that one just yet, but I'm very...
That's exactly where I am on it, too.
Yeah. That one's really got my attention. I keep on looking back at the Daniel Radcliffe movie that I watched for the show based off of the white supremacists. I mean, that kind of reminds me of that feel to it. I'm really interested in seeing that because of that and because it's a true story. And hey, Ryan Eggold is in it.
Oh, from The Blacklist.
Did you not? Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I knew he was in it. Yeah.
So Happy Time Murders. I got to stop looking at pictures of that damn movie.
The Darkest Mind seems interesting too, though.
It looks like a fun sci-fi flick.
Yeah. I'm excited for that one. It's got a
Replicas looks really good too.
Absolutely.
Alpha looks
dumb. This is like a lot of great small things coming to us. I'm happy for that. August is, well, I'll talk about it later in this section.
How about any smaller independent films or Netflix originals we should keep an eye out for?
So Searching comes out on August 3rd. After his 16-year-old daughter goes missing, a desperate father breaks into her laptop to look for clues to find her. This isn't going to end well. A thriller that unfolds entirely on computer screens. Again, this is not going to end well.
Mm-mm. He's going to find things he doesn't want.
Nope.
Fine.
Who is this?
That one looked. That was actually my pick too. I didn't have another pick for the month because for whatever reason, I just can't find a lot that was coming out on VOD or in Netflix during that month.
Ooh, I found one for you, Jen. It's called Support.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, Support the Girls. Comes out August 24th. General Manager.
I'm listening.
The general manager at a highwayside sports bar with curves, Hooters-like, has an incurable optimism and faith in her girls, her customers, and herself, tested over the course of a long, strange day. It stars Regina Hall and a lot of other people that you're going to like, and it's right up your alley. And I've heard that this is a really, really good film.
Like,
actually,
beyond just sexualizing
I have
women.
Heard of this one, and the cast on this, yeah, I'll see it.
Yeah.
I think you were in by the title, but...
Yeah.
He wasn't denying that at all. But yeah, I've heard it's actually a really good film, so definitely check that out. So what's one specific thing about this month's films that stood out for you, or a fun fact you learned while looking into them?
The thing that stood out the most was that this is seems like the first August in a while where none of the really big companies are throwing out one last ditch effort to own the summer. Like for a while it was here's Guardians of the Galaxy, and then it's here's Suicide Squad, but now it's like they just kind of left this month alone.
True.
So there for The Darkest Minds, I will anticipate, as long as it does well, that there will be two more. Because it's based off a novel series from Alexandra Bracken, and it is a set of three for the books. So they will probably, it kind of reminds me of Hunger Games, the way that it's going to be separated. I would imagine they're going to do that. I can't imagine that they would just go with the one and leave it if it does well in theaters.
Well, I noticed two things this month.
I wonder what the first one is.
Well, one being that there are all original films throughout the month of August. The major releases are original films, if you look at them.
Yeah.
Yep.
Woo. So no big sequels or big franchise movie. I guess you could maybe say Christopher Robin's kind of there, but it's still an original story, I think. So that counts. And the other thing is, true fun fact to the Hollywood Outsider, that when we originally started as a website back in the early aughts, early 2000, whatever it was originally just a website, just like any other entertainment website. We just covered news and stuff. There was no podcast or anything else back then. The very first interview we ever did was with Steve Alton, who wrote The Meg.
Aw, so that's why you're so excited for it, partly.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
That is cool.
Right?
That's awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
Doesn't sound like you're feeling that it's that awesome. Could you get more?
Well, I'm back to support the girls and
he's Googling the pictures or something, probably.
You're really digging the Happy Time Murder thing, aren't you?
I am so excited for that. I don't know why. I'm much more excited for that than I've been for anything else in the summer. I did not, when I saw the title of it, I didn't look into it because I thought, all right, what's some stupid noir thing? Okay, whatever. But now that I know that's puppets involved, I can't wait.
This is one of Aaron's dumb mystery movies that I'm not going to care about. Why would I want to look into that? Why would I want to prepare for the show?
There was so much to prepare for this show. I had to, some things had to suffer.
Understood. All right, so what's your overall verdict on this month's release? Is great, good enough, or ugly enough to make you play outside?
Overall, I think that there's some really good ones out there. I'm a little bit more excited for August, definitely more excited than I am for July. So I think it'll be good. I'm, as you mentioned, the more original ideas. I like that there's some creativity in August where it lacks in other months. And I think that there's going to be some really good ones.
Johnny?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still looking at puppets.
Lord.
I think I'm going to try to see puppets every single weekend that month. I mean.
Wow. Somebody has an issue.
One thing I was going to mention as well for The Slender Man, which.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So for The Slender Man, it's not a fun fact at all, but there was an actual murder that happened.
I think attempted murder. I don't think the girl died.
It was attempted murder. Continue.
Right. So it was near us. Well, but Aaron and I, you're not near us, Johnny. But anyway, it was in Waukesha, Wisconsin. And these two girls stabbed their 12-year-old classmate 19 mm-hmm. times. Attempting to murder her as a sacrifice to this fictional character, Slender Man.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely going to be a controversial one. Because it's not, the story's not going to be about the murders.
Right.
And I think a lot of people I've seen are confused.
Attempted murder.
That. Okay. About the attempted murder.
God, internet. Why are you clickbaiting us?
No, sorry. So it's not going to be about the attempted murder. It's going to be about the actual character. And so there is a documentary about the attempt,
mm-hmm.
but there's a lot of hate for this, for even going into the topic of Slender Man. But anyway, I thought if you're not familiar with it, what you were kind of pointing out to look it up, that is, you know, something that happened due to this fictional character.
Yeah, that is a sad, sad story if you look it up. It really is.
Yeah, it really is a sad story.
All right, but
hey, that little girl who survived it was a badass. I gotta tell you that. I mean, she is a complete badass. She crawled her way out for a mile outside of the woods just to be found the way she was. So she could have just laid down, rolled over, and died. But she is a badass for living. So good for her.
Man, that's just a tragic, tragic story. Let's try to bring this back up.
Sorry. So
thanks, Amanda.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Thanks for the joy.
It's my fault.
Let's wrap up the summer. Okay, so we're going to have a couple predictions and whatnot. Overall, what's your most anticipated movie of all of those we already talked about? And we talked about a bunch. We had to have talked about it. So I'm going to be throwing up no curveballs here, John.
Yeah. I was going to say something like, well, put a gun to my head and it's going to be Avengers. But right now, it's Happy Time Murders.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. That's fair. Amanda?
Infinity War. I cannot wait to see this with my nephew. He just turned 10 years old, and he's going to – I talked a little bit about the Dolby experience. They have, like, an incredible sound system. It's – everything in there is pitch black. The walls are even pitch black to try to remove any sense of lighting.
Mm-hmm.
And the seats are going to rumble. I'm just excited to experience a movie as big as this one with my 10-year-old nephew who – love superheroes. I asked him what he wanted for his birthday, and he said everything. I said, okay, who's your favorite superhero? He said everything. So guess what? You're getting everything.
Wow, look at that. You covered those bases, man. Mm-hmm. And he'll get to look up to Uncle Tony, too.
Oh, my God.
Well, for the love of God.
Let it go. Where's Let Elsa when go. We need her? Oh, there Let she is.
Oh, I am most excited for Deadpool, too. I absolutely love the first movie, and I can't wait for the second one. And yes, that is including Infinity War. I'm sorry, Marvel Bros or whatever, but Deadpool to me is way more interesting and fun to watch.
So, I think it's going to be a better movie.
Oh, we'll find out. I mean, you know, there's rumors going both ways on that one, but I'll wait and see it myself. But second would be Happy Time Murders, because that just looks bonkers. What's your least, this should be a little bit more interesting, what's your least anticipated movie of the summer, Amanda?
This is too easy for me. Mission Impossible.
Wow.
This is
why
just
do you hate happiness?
Well, this doesn't bring me happiness, so I love it. That's why I'm gonna avoid it.
But you said you haven't seen any of them.
No, I've seen them.
Oh, okay.
I just don't, I mean, I haven't seen every one of Tom Cruise's movies, but I've seen a lot of them. Older, and he was much better when he was younger, I feel like. Then it just became very overrated and outplayed for his acting.
I blame Scientology.
Well, I mean, there is that too. But I'm probably going to see this movie because of Henry Cavill, but I'm not excited about it. I'm sad. But I'm hoping it'll still be a decent action flick. Because as I said before, usually the movies aren't bad that he's in. I just get pulled away with his acting. Quote unquote acting.
As long as I get a mustache spinoff, I'll be happy.
I thought you were going to say a mustache ride.
A weird way.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, back it up.
I'm glad she said it. My least anticipated is The Incredibles 2. I don't care at all about it. It's just, and I thought the first one was fine. I mean, it's fine, but, and yeah, I don't want to watch the first one again. I don't want to need to see this. So I'd rather see Hotel Transylvania 3 than The Incredibles 2. And I mean that.
Hmm.
I'm with you. Does not look appealing.
Show dogs. Burn in hell.
I am stunned. It's got dogs, man. You love dogs.
I do love dogs, but I don't like dogs on the screen, and I don't want them. I mean, aside from cats and dogs, like Amanda brought up earlier, I don't need like super agent dogs. I just want cute, happy dogs that sit there and like, hi, boy, you look sad. That's all I need.
Are you going to see Dog Days, the other dog What's movie? That?
That's where the people actually have their dogs and they're having lives.
Where Nina Dobrev, who's a 20-something-year-old, is, I see a still image of her with her puppy where she's connecting with Finn, who is a 15-year-old. This is just weird for me to imagine.
Not if you're Finn, it's not.
Wait, say that a little slower.
Well, because the principle of the story is basically people are connecting, like couples are connecting through
their... Not necessarily couples, just people. Because Nina Dobrev is connecting with Finn, who's the Stranger Kids kid.
Right.
Stranger Things kid. That would...
That's why I'm like, God, I hope they're not the couple that's connecting.
I kind of hope they are.
Because there is a mention of a couple connecting through their animals, and I'm hoping it's just not them. Because that's otherwise weird. And illegal.
Hmm.
Anyway, there's dogs in the movie. So I didn't know if you were going to see it, John.
Okay.
Yeah, I like dogs a lot. I don't need to go see movies about dogs. I have two very adorable ones at home that I like a lot. So.
Oh, yeah, you do.
All right. Well, what's your prediction for biggest hit and biggest flop in both at the same time, Amanda?
Oh, I think Infinity War is going to be the biggest, and I think Solo is going to, for the best, biggest hit, and I think that Solo is going to be the biggest flop.
Really?
Yep, I really do.
Hmm.
I think people are over-anticipating how well it's going to do. And I think they just haven't had the marketing. I don't think they have the interest. And people are still going to be, you know, weeks after Infinity War and Deadpool, they're still going to be going to the theater to try to see those.
Hmm.
I don't think people are going to rush out to see Solo. Maybe I'm sure there's going to be some devoted fans who want to check it out, but I don't think it'll do as well as people are thinking it will.
Interesting.
We'll see.
All right, John, what's your predictions?
Well, I think picking Solo is a little bit like picking the kid with the helmet, because it's already behind the eight ball when it comes to how much money it's going to take to break even for them. So calling that one a flop would be, yeah, like the kid with the helmet.
Well, I picked
so, him. Yeah. So the biggest hit, of course, is going to be Infinity War in my mind. And then the biggest flop, I'm going to go for Alpha. Because who wants to go see a movie about Stone Age people like playing, you know, making nice with wolves?
I agree. I didn't think it would be a hit to begin with. But yeah, I would agree. Dumb. It looks weird. I don't even think they talk in the trailer, right?
No. When has that ever worked?
Never. Never.
A Quiet Place.
Oh, yeah. All right. All right.
That worked really well. Okay. But it's a little too soon that I don't think it's going to work.
Yeah, you found the one that it doesn't work. I think 10,000 BC is another one where they don't talk. There's Apocalypto. They don't talk in that one, right?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. I don't think so. I don't remember, honestly. I think I saw it when it first came out, and that was it. So my biggest hit, it's got to be Infinity War. And I think if it doesn't do better than Black Panther, it's going to be seen as a flop, which is weird.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But I really believe that because it has every major
everyone. Yeah. Yeah.
Biggest flop to me, I think it's going to be Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ooh. Oof.
Yeah, that's...
I don't think the trailers are that exciting so far. And
yeah.
And after Infinity War and then Deadpool and then Solo, I really... Yeah, I don't see it. I think people are going to want to break from heroes for a little bit. Those kind of heroes.
Yeah, that's a good possibility. That's a good call.
Well, I wonder if they spent the kind of money on it where it would be a flop. I mean, maybe they only spent the kind of money on it where they'll still make back what they made and what it cost to make it, and they'll still make back, and they'll still make a profit off of it. I think that for something to be a flop, it has to make less than what they spent to make it, right?
Yeah, I think it has to do less than what they're anticipating. And I think if it makes less than the first Ant-Man, it's going to be seen as a flop. And I think it will make less than the first Ant-Man.
That's probably true. Yeah.
That's my prediction.
We're talking feelings then instead of actual numbers.
Yeah. Well, those are the real numbers because that's what they're looking at. So that's what I think. All right. Are you guys ready to hear what our listeners picked as their most anticipated films of the summer?
I can guarantee Deadpool and Infinity War are on that list.
Maybe. All
right, let's start. I'm going to give you the top 10. I'm going to give you top 10 from listeners, okay? So everybody has variety. Number 10, and we put our topic every week into the Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. If you ever want to participate, just join the group and then you can.
Go there. It's actually a lot of fun.
A lot of fun. Number 10 is Tag. Number 9 is Sicario 2. Number 8 is Ocean's 8. That's ironic. Number 7, way down at 7. I'm actually surprised at this. The Incredibles 2. Number 6, Mission Impossible Fallout. Number 5, Jurassic World 2. Number 4, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Might prove me wrong. Number 3, Solo, A Star Wars Story. Number 2 is Deadpool 2. And very close to Deadpool is Avengers Infinity War at number 1. But it's very close. So maybe Marvel was a little worried about Deadpool, so they moved it back.
Yeah. I think it's a good idea they did. If they would have put them back to back, I think I would have had to sneak my nephew into Deadpool too.
We would have saw both of them as people and human beings and yeah. moviegoers, right?
Eventually, but they're going to care about that opening weekend number too.
They are. Yeah, they are. All right. Well, that was our summer movie preview. I think if you haven't found anything to see this summer, what were you listening to? There were so many titles. So many titles. That I think you're going to find something to talk about. And as we go into our closing, I actually got a little special treat for everybody. Movie 20 Weeks came out just recently on video on demand. It's a small independent film, but I hope you guys will check it out. And Trey Heinrichs and I do a podcast called The Blacklist Exposed, where we talk about the show The Blacklist every week. And the lead of 20 Weeks is also on The Blacklist. Amir Arison is his name. He plays Aram, if you ever watch the show. Well, we asked him if he would sit down and talk to us about his movie, and now I can give you that conversation. So I think you guys are going to really enjoy it. It's Amir Arison actually talking about his new film, 20 Weeks, and he talks about why it was special to him and why he wanted to get it made, and hopefully you guys will definitely check it out. So here is that.
Hey, guys!
Hey, what's going on, Amir?
Hey, good to be back. Great to be back.
It's a few times we talk to you now.
Well, I've talked to you guys a bunch when you guys came to the 100th episode. I saw you guys in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is my second podcast interview.
That is true.
All right, Amir, I'm ready to talk to you about your new movie, 20 Weeks, if you would love to talk about this new flick on video on demand and limited release. So it's in some theaters too, right? It's also on video on demand.
Yeah, it was for 1 week. It actually ended. It's 1 week theatrical release just ended today.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's been available on demand and is currently. on various platforms, Amazon Prime, iTunes. I don't know all of them, but if you look up the movie or the website, they have all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's nice to see it finally can't come out. I shot it almost 2 years ago. It made its world premiere at the LA Film Festival last summer, and then it did the festival rounds, and then it just had its release, and it's a movie we made for no money, but very personal story and really wonderful artists, and it's not an easy movie, but I'm quite proud of it.
And super well acted, I might add, because for the first time, because we've obviously met in person, we know you well, and all I wanted to do was literally just punch you in the face, because I hated you so much in this movie.
A couple times.
The whole time, or just in certain moments?
Just a couple moments. No, just a couple moments.
Three quarters of it, maybe, for me.
You know what?
Three quarters for you, Aaron?
No.
Aaron, I think, was a little different.
I'm totally... Here's the one thing, and I want to, for listeners, I do want to explain what it is. It stars Amir Arison as Ronan, and Anna-Margaret Holliman as Maya. They are a couple. They're newly in love. They've been together about 11 months when she finds out she's pregnant. And there is some conflict before they really get moving with the relationship and with the pregnancy, because Maya doesn't know if she wants a child. And at about 20 weeks, which is pretty far along, it's near 6 months, she comes into some complications which could result in them having to choose whether or not to terminate the pregnancy, because there could be a birth defect, there could be some other serious medical issues. So it becomes a question of what do you do in this situation? You have a couple, you have a baby that they could terminate the pregnancy and spare the child possibly a life of hardship, or do you just take your chances and love the child as it is, you know? And there's a lot of questions that come up in the movie, even financial, health insurance. How do we pay for this child? How do we pay for the care of this child? What are we going to do? We don't make that kind of money, as well as the life questions that come up. And
so, yeah.
Yeah, that's the movie in a nutshell. So tell.
Oh, I just want to jump in.
Oh, yeah.
Want to jump in. It's couched in a sort of a medical baby pregnancy, but it's really all about a couple. It's actually not about the baby. The baby is a catalyst for the communication and lack of communication and miscommunication and trying to look out for each other's feelings and sublimating their own feelings. So saying what the other one wants to hear and then doesn't want to hear. And it's like a slow crumble. And with the time jumping back and forth, watching sort of the highs and lows of a relationship, which is sort of very... appealing as an actor to mm-hmm. kind of build an entire world with somebody like that. And I also don't think, I've also heard in terms of just because it's about, you've mentioned terminate or not to terminate based on the challenges that the fetus, the baby may or may not have and how severe they will be and so forth. I'm very wary to say this word, and the word abortion doesn't appear in the movie, but the movie is not pro-life or pro-choice. It's really about a couple. A lot of pro-life people have found that the movie is pro-life, and a lot of pro-choice people have found that the movie is very pro-choice. It depends on what you bring to it. But that's another reason I didn't think the movie was trying to take any kind of political stance. It was just talking about the personal challenge of facing this dilemma and how it manifests in a couple at this time in their relationship.
Lovely writing, too, by Lena Pendekar when she was putting this out. I mean, as watching it, Aaron and I were even having arguments back and forth on text messages. It's just like, because I felt like I was more on Maya's side and Aaron felt like he was more on your side.
Well, that's great. That to me is the sign of a good piece of work. That's great. And I actually, there's scenes I shot where I was like, oh God, Ronan's in the right. And then when I watched the movie, I was like, oh my God, you asshole. that you know? And there are other times where I was like, oh my God, she's being annoying. But then at the same time, I'm like, but she has every right to be. You know, I found my allegiances as an audience member shifting once I saw the movie a second or third time. And also, I knew that without giving too much away, you know, his journey is not upward. It's kind of downward. And I really had mapped out for a long time with Lena on the phone because it was very, because, you know, it's not what happened to her or what happened to her husband, but it's inspired by a lot of events with very different outcomes, very different endings, and very different relationship things. But it was very clear that she was writing from her point of view, and she wrote Maya's point of view very clearly to me on the page. And there were some things he said and did. I was like, originally there was no mention of his family or the financial situations or, and you know, she was like, oh, that's really good. And we talked about it. She's like, I'm so happy to have a guy actor that is into it. And that, you know, we almost like workshopped Ronan's role. And at the same time, what it did is it put us on the same page. So when we got to work, we showed up to work. We were like in lockstep. Oh, you remember when I talked about that? She's like, remember this? And I was like, oh yeah, right. But really, really wanted to work hard since I know he makes some really hard to stomach decisions, that there was a human emotional logic to get to them, including communication problems. And there's this thing that I had been dealing with in my own life. It's like when you work on taking care of somebody else so much and taking care of somebody else's feelings, after a while you can begin to start lying to yourself, or what I like to call sublimating yourself. And if you sublimate yourself too long, then you're going to crack. And then it's almost like that's going to be the beginning of passive aggressive. You can become passive aggressive to them or to yourself. It can be very ugly. So one thing I will say is that they both, by the end of the movie, are at their truth, which is somewhere they weren't at for a lot of the movie. I've gotten very esoteric, and I hope I haven't given away the movie.
No. You're fine. I really, you know, when Troy and I were debating, you know, because we had different sides and different points of view, and I totally get both of your characters' points of view, honestly. And throughout the movie, that shifts, that paradigm shifts quite a bit. What I liked most about it is that it feels like they're both people. You know, it doesn't feel like it's a movie. You know, it feels like you're actually watching two real life people that have faults up and down, and they're going through this struggle. And the concept would be very much an internal struggle for me as well, and for various reasons. And I think you guys did a really good job of touching on that. Is that why this movie was so important to you? Because you've been talking about it for a couple of years, and it's finally out. Why was this one so passionate for you?
You don't get offered roles like that, that are completely, and it was really like, I mean, Maya's on screen 99% of the time. I'm on screen like 95% of the time. You don't get roles where like almost every frame you're working towards something. That just doesn't happen. Even James and Liz aren't on screen the whole time. It's, you know, spread out over guest stars and blacklisters and task force members. So to get a role like that, and it's that sort of emotionally challenging and rich, and, you know, on the page, it was sort of sexy, and it was sensual, and it was ugly, and it was sweet, and it was funny, and it was awful. I know some people personal in my life that have had, you know, either had to go through a miscarriages or things of within that realm. And, you know, it's, I actually did a play once about a young baby that had passed, and it's something that's actually more common than people realize, but nobody talks about. So this was also an opportunity to kind of explore that. I mean, I want to do a rom-com too. I want to have fun and I want to entertain, but you know, the nitty and gritty of being an artist is getting to do something like this where it makes people talk. You go to uncomfortable places. It kind of changed some of the things I thought about. It made me learn a whole lot more about women go through just in basic, just in pregnancy, much less a problematic pregnancy. So, yeah.
Well, the movie's called 20 Weeks. You can check it out at 20weeks-movie.com. We know you are super busy, and we should probably let you get going because you got a big day tomorrow finishing up season 5 of The Blacklist. So great to have you back.
Thank you. Great to be back. Thank you. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed that. And again, that's 20 Weeks, and it is available on video on demand on whatever service you use.
He's such a sweetheart.
He is. Oh, you've met him, Matt, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's a sweetie.
Yep. We had an event at C2E2, which is a Chicago con of sorts, entertainment expo. And I held a panel with him, and everybody, you got to come out there.
Sure did.
A lot of our listeners came out and saw him. It was really cool.
They were all really great. They were signing autographs for, I mean, they were just like shaking hands and like, oh, sure, yeah, let me do that. I have no problem.
The kind of entertainers that you wish more people
were. They just acted like normal people. You know what I mean? And that's, I feel like that's pretty rare because The Blacklist does exceptionally.
It's a huge show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a small show by any stretch.
And so. You did great hosting it.
Thank you.
I know you're being a little modest with your two awards and everything, but.
I mean, you'd think I'd know what I was doing. I got two awards. I got one on each side of me right now. How you doing?
You're double fisting your awards right now.
Mike and Ike. That could go in a different direction. All right. So recent film or TV recommendations not previously discussed. Anything you guys want to talk about? Amanda, you're our guest. Anything you want to talk about?
I really enjoyed Requiem on Netflix. I did not think I was going to enjoy it as much as I did. But I think it's worthy of checking out. If you're one of those people that gets a little scared easily, I probably wouldn't check it out because it does delve into a horror type TV show. But it is pretty succinct, and I think that all of the episodes feel full but not overwhelming for the amount of episodes that you have in just an hour length episode. I've also been watching The Resident, and I.
On ABC? That's the new show?
Yeah.
Or is that on Fox? Which one's that one?
I watch it on Hulu, so whatever. I mean,
fair enough.
What are these? What are these channels you're talking about?
That one's Fox.
It is Fox. You are right. So, but it is on Hulu as well, okay. And it's. I really like Matt. He's the lead on there. He was also in Gilmore Girls.
What's the show about? I don't know anything about it.
Basically, it's set in another. It's not like Grey's Anatomy, so I do want to preface that. But basically, it's. Set in a hospital setting, and the lead, whose name is Matt, he does things his own way, and he does them with the knowledge that although these are the standard procedures of doing things, I also have an understanding of what's going to be best for the patient. And so there's kind of that dynamic of him having altercations almost and more subtly than you would imagine, with the other hospital staff that are there who have much higher up, more positions and have a lot more money and get to the hospital kind of relies on those people that have a lot of money. There's also some deeper problems that go into the show that they have like a storyline that's going on. And I don't want to say what that is in case you do watch the show, but there's a certain person in the show that may be doing things that are highly illegal to cancer patients.
Ooh.
Just to try to get money. So it's an interesting show. If you like those type of serial hospital shows, you'll probably enjoy it. And the two leads are really great. So,
all right, John, anything you want to recommend?
I saw Super Troopers 2 last night because I was doing stuff for the show last night and watching something else that was interesting, but we can talk about that at a later date. But I did watch it Friday night. I saw Super Troopers 2, which if you are a big fan of the first Super Troopers, then this is the movie for you. Broken Lizards kind of, they come back. They are still in good form. They still know how to make you laugh, and they know how to disarm you too. I thought it was awesome the way they started the movie off in a weird way that disarmed the viewer and let them know that it's going to be a different thing, but then did bring back some great old jokes. So I really enjoyed it. And that's why I think I kept on seeing Club Dread 2 in the notes someplace. Maybe I'm just hallucinating. Who knows?
You could be. I saw that as well. And, you know, it's dumb. I mean, really, really dumb. And if you're looking for plots or characters or anything intelligent, you shouldn't watch it. But if you really enjoyed the first one, I think you'll have a good time. It's one of those movies. good with friends, you know, good with friends that are drunk or high. Better with those.
And if you guys saw it on a Friday, I can only imagine.
Yep.
On Friday,
opening 420. Night. Opening night, 420.
Yeah.
No, the theater was a lot of fun. Let's just say that.
I don't
was
know,
Seth Rogen there?
Why was it had a fog. It was very noir. Yeah, I saw Only the Brave, which is about Josh Brolin and Miles Teller, and a movie about firefighters fighting forest fires, and it's based on a true story, a very sad tale, but also really inspiring in a way, so I really recommend people check it out. It's not as good as Backdraft because it doesn't have Kurt Russell, but it's pretty good. So I definitely think you should check that out.
I sobbed through that movie the first time I saw it and when I rewatched it. But in theaters, especially because when it came out, there were a lot of
forced. Wait, which one?
Only the brave.
Not Super Troopers 2. I'm
sorry. There were a lot of forest fires that were happening in California. And so to think about the reality of this, and this is based on a true story, but to even think about the reality that this is still happening and that as I'm watching this movie, there mm-hmm. are people out there who are enduring this. It's just kind of gives you those goosebumps and makes you feel a little – it's very chilling and very humbling mm-hmm. to kind of watch something like that. And it gives you a much deeper – I feel like a much deeper respect for firefighters and for everything they do.
Absolutely.
All right. So, Aaron, you sounded like you really enjoyed this movie, but yet Miles Teller is still Miles Teller.
I don't think he was anything more than he ever is. I just don't find him to be a very strong actor. I mean, you know, I know people think I hate the guy. I don't hate him. I just think he's the most average actor Hollywood continues to try to make happen. And he's not Fetch. So stop trying to make him happen.
You just used Mean Girls.
I did. That's Mean Girls all the way. All right. Is there anything, as we wrap this up, anything in entertainment news we didn't talk about because we didn't really do news this week? Anything worth mentioning or...
One thing that stood out to me, and you guys can have the discussion if you wish, but you guys have recently talked with Deion Taylor, who was the director and writer of Traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we've on Blade International Film Festival episode, we talked about the stop trafficking.
Stopping traffic.
Yep, yeah. Stopping traffic. About sex trafficking. And recently the news came out that Smallville's Allison Mack was actually arrested for the sex cult case. She was indicted on charges of sex trafficking conspiracy, and conspiracy to commit forced labor.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting more of an idea of everything that actually goes into sex trafficking and how much of a real problem it is, it was very weird to see somebody arrested for this that was, you know, high celebrity status. Well, medium celebrity status.
Formerly high celebrity.
Yeah.
Formerly medium celebrity status.
But it just puts you in a very weird, realistic situation where it's once you start to kind of recognize all of those things that are happening in society. Oh, man, it's just weird.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable.
That leads me to John, because, John, you were a huge Smallville fan. Is that going to change how you look at that show or that character Chloe that she played?
And Lana,
because she was the one who kind of brought her in, and then she left the cult, but she was part of it. Kristen Kreuk.
What?
Yeah, she's the one that got Allison Mack involved. She actually was part of this little sex cult. And John's like, I would have joined a sex cult. But she was part of this and brought her into the fold, and then she left when she finally broke out, because it's mind manipulation to many degrees.
And they coerce you to get into it.
They coerce you, and she finally left, but Allison Mack stayed. Now she's been indicted. So does that change the show for you?
This has nothing to do with the show to me in my mind. This is a completely separate thing, and I guess it's because the show's done and over with, I'm able to separate it in this case. And as much as I enjoyed the show, it's far from something that I love. It's just something that I enjoyed. It's something that was a friend in the room kind of thing. So it doesn't have an effect on it.
I look forward to the movie.
You think they're going to make a movie on it?
Yeah, it's going to star Kristen Kreuk.
It's going to be Scientology all over again.
Tom Welling's going to play the sex cult leader. And I will definitely watch it. Yeah. I
will. Absolutely. So will John.
Maybe.
Yeah, you would.
If Kristen, however you say her last name, if she's starring in it.
Kreuk.
Yeah. Is it Kreuk?
No, maybe. Kreuk.
Yeah, we're going with Kreuk, because, you know, she was part of this at one point. All right, so Amanda, where can people find you?
Well, I co-host a podcast, Smirk, with Aaron. So check that out at smirkpodcast.com, or you can find us on Twitter at smirkpodcast. You can find us, you can find me in the Hollywood Outsider Facebook group. As we mentioned earlier, it is a lot of fun, and we always have the topic up there to discuss. So it's kind of nice talking about the movies that people are finding, especially a lot of independents are mentioned in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also find me on some episodes of Remake This Movie Right. I was also recently on the Horribly Awkward podcast with Sean Fuller, who's been on the Hollywood Outsider before. We talked about Ho a lot. It seems quite a bit, actually. But we also talked with Amy Hargreaves from 13 Reasons Why, and she's also in Homeland. So we spoke about the series.
She plays Clay's mom, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I should preface that. In 13 Reasons Why. So we talked a little bit, as much as she could, about season 2. I would say... I know we didn't talk about TV shows for this preview, but it sounds like we're more likely to get the second season over the summer.
Ugh.
Because she said, you know, I wouldn't expect it to be too far away like the fall. And so you can listen to that episode through Horribly Awkward. But it sounds like it's going to be a sooner rather than later thing. So leave some space.
Stop trying to take up all my time, Netflix. Stop it.
For the love of God, Netflix. I mean, it's bad enough we're giving you all this money.
Right.
Yeah, all like $12 a month or $8 if you just get the regular package, whatever.
I mean, that's at least one Happy Meal.
Do you still go to McDonald's and get Happy Meals?
If they have puppets in them, yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah, if there were puppets serving me my McDonald's, I'd be there every other day.
I think you just meant the toys, but sure, puppets can serve you the fries too.
No, I would go if they had puppets serving me. I really just meant in the box, you freak.
So obsessed.
All right, so if you have any comments or you want to have some feedback on this episode or summer movie preview or anything else, send it to feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Or if you have the app, you can just hit the contact tab. Join our Facebook group, The Hollywood Outsider. We're also on Twitter @BuyPopcorn. You can remember to grab the Hoe and the Go with our Apple or Android apps. We're also on Spotify. Subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher. TheHollywoodOutsider.com is the website or whatever your podcast app is. You can find John's artwork on Instagram and everywhere else @rjohn.draws. And me and my other podcast, Smirk, Blacklist Exposed, and Beyond Westworld, which just started back up. And Remake This Movie Right kicks off May 1st. So look for that.
You're doing too much is really where you're going.
I plan to stop. I plan to stop soon. I could retire any minute. One day you're going to come back and listen to all these episodes now, man, because you never know. They might just be gone tomorrow. I'm kidding.
That's
I'm kidding.
Sad.
We're fine.
Tragic.
Johnny, anything you want to say as we close it out?
Daspadanya.
Sure. All right. Amanda, anything you want to say as we close
no,
it out?
No, thanks for having me on, guys. It's been fun.
Thanks for being here. And once again, remember, the next time you head to a theater this summer, which you will probably be going quite a bit if you were paying attention, buy popcorn.
Puppets.
Buy puppets? What is the thing with the puppets, man?
I'm like Gandhi, but better. I like puppets.
You're like Gandhi,
none
but better?
None of that makes any sense.
And he just compared himself to freaking Gandhi.
You can't just put
Gandhi.
Words together and expect them to make sense.
You're a wee little puppet man.
I think it's because it starts with pup and that reminds him of puppies. So puppies, puppets.
Now you're doing what he did, which is making no damn sense.
Now you just make it all sound silly.